Hello, everybody. Welcome back to episode 28 of the Well-Rounded Wealth Podcast. Jack, how we doing, sir?
I'm doing well, but I am a little tired. It's almost 9 p.m. at the time of this recording, and I've been up since about 5 a.m., and I got home at about 7 p.m., but I'm ready. I'm excited because I think this will be a fun episode. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm being dramatic.
He's got six jobs. He doesn't get tired.
I was actually just telling my roommate, like, I have had, since I've moved to Atlanta in August, over six jobs.
Have you really?
Yeah. Technically. I mean, well, if we do the different sets I've been on for background, it's like over 10.
That's nuts.
but yeah, no, it's been wild. It's been crazy. It's been a journey.
Look at that. You can get 6 years of job experience in one.
Just
be an actor and hop from set to set.
Sure.
That's funny. All right. Today we are going to do a little different one. We're going to be kind of talking about controversial opinions and beliefs and seeing our opinions on them. I don't think it's necessarily that they're set in stone, but we want to have a debate around them. And honestly, we want it to be thought-provoking. As you know, this is a journey of discovery, what this podcast is, because we're not professionals in anything, but we do enjoy. Yeah,
exactly. Not damn thing.
Not yet. We need like 10 years, I feel like, and then you can start calling yourself professional in space. But yeah, so just really thought-provoking, and we want to debate it, and we want you guys to be questioning some beliefs on your end, too. So let's dive right in.
All right, let's do this.
So I have an interesting one that it was kind of predicated on, I think, a podcast I was listening to. But here's the premise. The people who love you often want what's best for them. They want to know you are safe and secure because it eases their conscience. If you want to build, you can't always be safe and secure. You have to go through hardship and struggle, and that's okay.
I mean, yeah, I kind of agree with that. I don't know. You know, I don't think that's a crazy, crazy take. What I would say is sometimes I do understand a pull towards just wanting to not have worries every day. I've definitely had a lot of days, especially since I've been out on my own, where I've had a lot of worries, whether like it's where am I getting my money? How much money am I going to get? Cause it's not always an even type of thing. So like I've definitely had financial worries, and I definitely understand the desire for wanting to just have something stable and not have to worry about that every month. Even if it's not something I'm necessarily passionate about how I'm getting that, it's just nice to have it. And also, you do need it. You need it. But, you know, the more I've lived on my own and the more I've had to kind of fend for myself out here, I do understand that kind of draw to really find something that's stable. And what I want to do is not necessarily that at all. In fact, it's probably the opposite of that.
So, yeah, completely agree there. And I want to dive more into the people that love you, because I think that is the people part of it is where I'm fascinated with, is what do you have to sacrifice in a relationship with a person to tell them like, hey, it is okay. I'm going to need to struggle and suffer a little bit, and you're going to have to be comfortable with that. Because the people who love you, they don't want you to suffer, and they want what's best for them. And what's best for them is knowing that you're safe and secure.
So you think it's actually what they actually want is what's best for them rather than what's best
for you at the end of the day. Because when you regress a risk,
thought about that,
or a struggle down to its basic form, it's fear of death. Like, okay, if Jack goes out on his own, he has the potential to fail, and failing at getting a job, it could mean he doesn't have money, so he ends up on the street. And if he ends up on the street, then he could get murdered or die or whatever. Die Star.
He could get murdered.
I mean, you probably have an eye lately, but whatever it is.
I could become the best street performer ever, actually.
Yeah, you definitely could. I don't doubt that. But I don't think that's going through a lot of people that I know that you know.
Yes, I know. I've definitely had that. I have extremely supportive parents, but I'm sure they'd be happy if I told them that I actually just, you know what? I want to focus on getting a job with a steady salary in the corporate world with an opportunity for promotion and success and a track. And that's what I want. I don't think my parents would say, you shouldn't do that. That's crazy. They would support that 1,000%. In our relationship, if I meant that and they knew that, like, that is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
For the goals of acting, they've been very supportive. And for the little successes I've had here and there, they've been extremely happy about it. And I actually think, especially with my dad, I think he is happy that I'm experiencing that struggle, because I haven't had to have struggle like that until the last 8 months of my life. And it's definitely helped me grow a lot. And I think he knew that. I think that was why he was encouraging of me to go out on my own so quickly and supportive of that. And my mom.
Do you think that sheds light on who is truly supportive of you? That even though in their conscious, they might know, like, oh God, I really hope he doesn't fail, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that in what's best for him is for him to take the risk.
Yeah. I think it's very rare to have people in your life that actually do want what's best for you and not just what's best for them. I think my parents, only I can truly say this about, I think they actually want what's best for me, or what I think is best for me. And they probably definitely have some, they have a lot of, they've lived a lot of life, especially, more than double compared to me. Like, they've seen a lot and they've been through a lot. So they might have ideas like, maybe he'll think this way down the line or come that way down the line, but they definitely want what's best for me. I always get that sense talking to them. Now let's have a juxtaposition here instead of me just saying, like, actually, I do have people that want what's best for me. There are definitely a few people in my life where, I could still, like, I'm still friends with them and I could still talk to them, but I do know that sometimes the advice they give is what's best for them and not necessarily what's best for me. A quick example of that, and it's not like you or someone in our circle, Patrick, but sometimes there's a person I catch up with a lot, and almost the advice every time is to move back to Charlotte. But it's not because that's what's best for me necessarily. It's because, well, that person really is a really, we're really good friends, and he would love to be able to see me more in Charlotte, which I get. That's I don't hate that reason at all. And I love that. It's a very sweet reason. But that is where I agree with your statement that you said, is they do want, that is what is best for them, that advice, not necessarily what's best for me. Does that make sense?
Yep. 100%. Yeah. I think that's exactly where I was getting to. And I had that realization as I'm catching up and revisiting certain people that used to be more prevalent in my life, and telling them where my goal's at, or what I see as a result of my future and my actions, or what I think my actions now will lead to in the future. And it's kind of hard because you can't tell them, like, hey, I don't. Well, I guess you could tell them. It's like, hey,
you could.
Take a step back. You're saying this for yourself and not for you, because it's difficult to discern where they're coming from. like your parents could genuinely be like, hey, I don't want, like, this is going to cause me a bunch of worry, which that's probably what it is. But mm-hmm. your example of the friend wanting you to come back to Charlotte, that's like, hey, I just want a buddy. I just want my buddy back home kind of thing. So yeah, that's definitely, it's different and difficult to hear that and then not be able to kind of act upon it. It's just something you have to hold true to yourself, knowing that I know I have to go through this phase of my life, and I'm the most important person right now in that phase.
Yeah.
And I heard a great quote. Sorry. I'll finish that point with a great quote. It was, take care of yourself so that you can better take care of me, and I'll take care of myself so that I can better take care of you. Basically, get to the point where you're comfortable with who you are and where you are so that you have more space to take care of other people.
Yeah. That's a lesson I've also heard and learned and fully agree with. Honestly, that's a reason why I'm not really dating much right now, is because I'm honestly not there yet. I'm trying to get to a place where I can take care of myself. I'm taking care of myself, but I could take care of myself a lot better, and I want to, and that's the journey I'm on right now. That's, like, you know, honestly, like, what's kind of why we do the podcast, why I like talking to you every other week in long form. It's so it kind of keeps me on track, and like like
that's like talking to me. That's like when I whisper sweet nothings to him.
Your whispers are loud as hell in my earphones. There's nothing whispering about any of what you say. But I mean, yeah, that's honest. I agree with that 1,000%. I don't even know if that's basically just saying don't be a codependent person. Like, don't have your own problems and not being able to handle them, and then rely on someone else that you delegate those issues to. Mm. I don't even consider that controversial. I think people don't do it without even realizing, but hearing that advice out loud sounds, at least to me, very obvious. And I feel like to most people, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's fair.
But it's easy to not do that. It's easy to, like, just not practice it. You know, it's easy to say that thing but then not do it. And I've definitely been in scenarios in my life where, like, I have done that, and then I look back at the end of a relationship and I'm like, oh yeah, I was like, yeah, like, that person didn't, like, do amazing things either, but I was definitely not in a place where I was fully self-sufficient and I defined my own self-worth. I was not there. And I feel like I'm still not fully there, which is okay. That's part of why we live this thing called life, I guess. and why we have to grow. So yeah, I wanna get to that point where I can say that, where I am taking care of myself and I am satisfied with myself. I mean, a lot of Atlanta's been pretty lonely so far, I will admit, but I'm kind of learning to be okay with that. You know?
Yeah.
And
I think that's important for everyone to not to be lonely, but to know.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes, I mean, I've been bummed out sometimes. I've been bummed out sometimes. Yeah. Like, being lonely is never good. And I still, like, I have a roommate who's one of my closest friends, and one of my best friends from college lives down here, and I see him once a week. So it's not like I'm just lonely all the time. And I've made some friends on doing background on sets, but you know, it's when I have off days, and especially during the week when all the people I know are at a more 9-to-5 schedule, I'm just alone. I'm just like, all right, it's just me today. Let's, what are we going to do?
It's like,
and sometimes the answer to that is nothing productive. Sometimes it is.
That's funny, but I mean, yeah, I think it's a very valid point you bring up, and I mean, honestly, I know this about you, and I think it's probably more uncomfortable because you're so used to being around people. Like, you're one of the best people socially, and Yeah, of course. That's it. That's it.
That was kind of a whisper. I didn't hear that super well in my head. That was good. That was good.
Turn my gain down.
Keep going. Sorry. Hey, little,
what's that? The whispering song. It's like, hey, little something. Let me whisper in your ear.
What?
Do you remember I don't that know. Meme?
I don't know.
Okay, never mind. Where are we? Anyway.
I don't know. I don't where know what I? That is.
You're such a social person, so I know there's that like phase that I'm sure you're going through right now where it's like, okay, I don't want to go back to where I was socially, and I'm in this like kind of ether where it's between social groups. But when you get to that next phase of whatever your life is, you're going to find a new social group because you can speak that same language and as that new group of friends, which my guess is it's going to be a lot of the people from on set and on stage and people that are aspiring towards the same goals you have.
Yeah. And that's beyond just like my own goals career wise. My biggest struggle so far, and I still haven't found it, is kind of like that the community aspect. Like overall, like I have friends here and there. Like we're all like just got here and haven't really found our people yet. And that's kind of been the journey. It's almost like going back to your first year of college where you're like, where do I really, I need to find my stride and I haven't found it yet. You know, I think it just takes time, at least for me, you know, my whole first year of college, I hadn't found that yet. First year and a half of middle school, I was struggling to find that. It's just you're always asking yourself again because you're in a whole new environment, a whole different chapter. Who am I? So I'm re-asking. I do know who I am, but it's kind of like you're redefining yourself every step of the way. So I think that's also what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree. All right. On to you. Do you have a controversial topic or just a topic in general?
Controversial topic.
That wasn't as controversial as I thought it was. As it came across.
I want to bring up something that you mentioned to me earlier in private, but it's you mentioned that a goal in life should be to never be comfortable with where you are at and to always be pushing forward. I don't know if you said that or if you heard that and repeated it to me, but that has made me think, and I've definitely seen that advice on like, you know, whatever social media. And that's kind of been a hard thing for me to grapple, because if I'm just never comfortable, that's the same thing as saying I'm always uncomfortable. And do I want to always be uncomfortable with where I'm at?
Well, I don't necessarily think it's being uncomfortable, because I think it depends on like what type of uncomfortable you're in. If you're uncomfortable because it's a choice you made, like to put yourself in an uncomfortable situation, I think that's different. And that's more where I'm going, because this whole predicated kind of based on a little bit from the Iron Man stuff. And then also I was listening or reading something and I was like, yeah, like where do I position myself now to be able to continue to want to grow almost indefinitely? And I know I've said before on this podcast, happiness is peace. So I think that may kind of contradict, or it doesn't contradict it, but it'll build off of that. So I think having happiness be peace, like you know where you are and you're comfortable if you had to be in that spot. However, when I say always strive to be uncomfortable, I think it more means always strive to grow. And you, in order to grow, you have to suffer, you have to be uncomfortable, you have to put yourself through stress. And that is what I've found in my kind of pursuits, because one big thing I notice is that if you achieve something, that was a goal of yours financially or materialistically, or even like with the Ironman stuff. I finished the Ironman and I was like, oh, okay. Well, it wasn't sunshine and rainbows. Like the world didn't stop and like, woo, it's a party. Like this is the peak. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I got to go do another thing. Or it's like, if I want to keep growing, I got to do another thing. So that is the background of where that came from. I'm curious, like, do you ever think you'll get to a point in life where it's like, all right, I can be comfortable? Or not? Let's rephrase that.
Okay.
Do you ever think there's going to be a point in your life where you do not want to grow?
That's a better. I like that phrasing better. Well, I don't know. I think maybe by the time I'm in my 50s, maybe I'll be like, all right, I'm happy with where I'm at. Hopefully things are good. That doesn't mean that I stop wanting to, you know, get out of bed every morning and get after something. I hope that I will always still want to grow. But hopefully it moves into different fields, you know? Like maybe I want to grow and like when that point down the line of, you know, what it means to be a good parent rather than how much further in my career can I get? You know what I mean? Like I hope it shifts. But I do want a push and a drive always, but I don't want it to be within the same field at all times, because I feel like if you keep pushing down a certain category all the time in an obsessive way, then eventually it's okay. You're just never going to be satisfied. Then
you're going to, something else in your life is going to break.
Yeah.
You're going to miss out on some other aspect.
That's true.
Yeah, that was another thing, because I know a lot of this podcast was based on the idea of finding balance in certain aspects of life. And I might have to swallow my words on this a little bit, because I think that is a very good way to live life, personally. Like for me, like I want to be well-rounded in family, in health, in business or career pursuits. However, you're going to have phases where you're not balanced, where you're primarily focused on career, or you're primarily focused on family, and the career might suffer, your health might suffer a little bit. But I think that's a good and a bad thing, because you have to be able to associate and dissociate with where you are in life. Like be able to take a step back and be like, all right, I know for the next year I might gain a little weight, but that's because I need to focus on my work and my children. And that's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, that really spoke to me, because sometimes I think about our podcast, especially the title of Well-Rounded Wealth, and I'm thinking, my life is not very well-rounded right now.
It's the journey.
You know, it's hard. It's something I don't have, but it's weird that we talk about it, and it's something I want to have and want to get to. But I actually think the title of the podcast, what we're trying to get to, is actually incredibly hard to get to. And I've always known that, but especially, you know, I really like, you know, I'm definitely very narrow-sighted right now. Is that, yeah. And like, especially the career aspects and doing things like that I care about, specifically like in a career aspect or in a art aspect. And I've definitely focused a lot less on relationships. Yeah, on family too, especially because I'm not around as much anymore. I don't live at home. I don't live in the same state. So things are definitely a little unbalanced. But I don't know how to find that balance right now, just because of what's literally going on in my life, you know? And yeah. I don't, I want to get there, and I know in the back of my head that I would really like to get there, and that it would be probably more healthy to be there. But I just don't think I can be just yet. I think I have to get in. I think I have to get myself into a place where I have the opportunity to fully pursue that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's, I can only speak from experience on this, but, or at least personal belief. I think that is the ultimate goal. If you look at it, pretend there's a race, right? And you have three people racing. And if it's like health and fitness and career and then family or whatever your three pillars are, your three most important things. At any point, one person in that race is always going to be leading and one person's going to be losing. Like, I don't think anyone is always going to be running at the same pace at the same time. But yeah. I think the ultimate goal, at least in my life, is to try and have them finish around the same time. Like, I don't want to focus on just career and then have career blow health and family out of the water, so that at the end of the race, like, all I have to show is, hey, career did great, but I mean, my family and my health are 20 years behind. Like, they're never right, gonna catch up.
Yeah.
So if that paints a visual of what's going in my head.
Yeah, that I actually really like that. You know, it's because you can't every day, you can't do this, the balance thing. You can't do that every day. It's almost unbalanced, because sometimes things require more focus than other things, you know? That'd be for example, my family, I love Christmas and spending Christmas with my family, you know, like Christmas Day, like that's the day where like we just spend time as a family and just hang out. We don't do anything but that. That, mm-hmm. you know, it would almost be for me in a weird way, unbalancing to be like, today's just like any other day though. I gotta focus on my health. We're gonna eat super nutritious today. I don't care about anything that my mom is making for the Christmas dinner. And I also need to like focus on how to, you know, keep growing financially and be focusing on all of that every day. And honestly, you know what? I know we have Christmas off. I'm gonna hop on the computer and I'm gonna do some work and keep it all balanced. And then I'll have some time for family today too. No, it's okay having that whole day for family. You know what I mean? And then vice versa, like some days it's okay just be fully focused on work. It's as long as it's just not like every day and every day and every day.
That's why I like looking at it more on a monthly or even quarterly or annual basis. Like, okay, this year or this quarter, how much time did I put in my bucket one or bucket two or bucket three, whatever those buckets are for you.
Yeah, it's almost like it's looking at your budget. Like I have a financial budget, and it like it's all the categories, like, you know, your spending categories. And, you know, you're like kind of looking at it like, oh, okay, like where were you spending the most money in which categories, or where were you spending less? Oh, okay, well, I actually had more space in my budget for this category, so next month I'll try to spend there. I overspent a little bit in this category of my budget, so I'm going to spend less there.
Mm.
It's almost like doing that with life, I guess.
Yeah. Budgeting life. I mean, I completely agree. So
is that healthy to budget life, or are we overthinking everything?
Yeah, probably a little bit, but you know.
What if we just lived it?
Yeah, I know. That's like, that's half. Well, I think it is important. I think it's very important to look at, if you want to call it budgeting, like look at where you're budgeting in life, because I think people can lose track of time very, very easily. I mean, and that is our most valuable resource is time. And if you go by your life and it's like, I have all this list of everything I want to do over here. And yet oh my God, it's a year has gone by and I haven't done anything on that list. It's like, I think it's really important to, if you want to do something, if you're truly passionate about it or you have a true desire to do it, like, you have to plan for those things. Otherwise, life can happen to you instead of you happening to life.
That's
true. I think it is. I think that's very true. To kind of backcast and look at, okay, where do I want to be when I'm in my 50s, or where do I want to be when I'm in my 60s? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. I was. So I was just trying to not say I totally agree. But all right. Yeah. But maybe we don't need to be so technical about it.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
But I think it's also, it's good to also, you know, have some things written out. You know, I think my biggest detriment is that I don't do that enough, where I don't write things out enough of things I actually want to do. It's just kind of like all in my head. Actually, yesterday morning I woke up and I didn't have like a list of things I had to do yesterday, but I had things to do. So when I woke up, I was like, okay, I need to do things today. What do I need to do? And then I wake up and like within 5 minutes, I'm like stressed, because I'm like, okay, I need to think of everything I need to do today. And then I think of it and I'm like, okay, I know what I need to do today. And then I start. And like, I actually was thinking about that yesterday. I was like, that's kind of an unhealthy way to wake up. You know, yeah. I was like, it was almost like waking up and I was like, oh my God, like, is there something I forgot about? Or is there something, I feel like there's something I need to do, but I can't remember what it is. Hang on, let's just take a second and figure out, what do I need to do today? Let's go. I don't have any job interviews today, do I? No, that was yesterday. We're good there. We're good there. My shift to work tonight's not till the afternoon. Okay, so we're good. Inner monologue I was having. It lasted like a minute. It wasn't like I was freaking out for 5 minutes, but that happened.
I got you. I'm going to give you a little tip, and anyone listening, they could steal this. Like, what I have in my big master note taking, so I use Notion, and what I have is I have a massive to-do list, and it has everything from extracurriculars to like playing the piano to I have like a personal list where it's like, I want to do this hike and that hike and go to this country. And I also want to learn about this thing. Like, everything is on there. And then I have a breakout of my daily to-do list. And it's just whatever the most important thing I need to do for that day. I'm stealing this from Sean Pori, he runs My First Million podcast. Is just write your one big thing down. Like, that is the one big thing I want to do today. And then if I get it done, great. Then I can kind of go to my other list and see what else I need to do. So I do that for locally. So if I want to do it on a weekly basis, that's what I look at. In terms of the bigger things, and I think this is where a lot of people fall off, is they don't plan to take big adventures. So it's on my calendar. So every year, I have a reminder to book a trip or book something. That's like one of my big bucket list items, because I know if I don't do that, it's just, I'm just going to keep pushing it back and pushing it back and pushing it back. It's like, I have friends. They're like, I always wanted to go to Europe. And I'm like, you're in your 30s. Like, get going.
Yeah. Like,
and there's certain times when you can experience certain things in those buckets. So
yeah. And also, like, there's also the finance aspect of that. If that's what you really want to do, then you got to set yourself up to get to a place where you can do that. For example, I don't think I'm going back to Europe for a while. I don't think that one's happening for a second. For me, it might take some time, unless someone pays for it for me, or it's for work and it's the flights covered. It might be a while before I'm going on a trip back to Europe, but I do want to get back there.
Exactly. And that's okay. And I mean, is it unrealistic to put it on your calendar or wherever you want to keep it in 5 years? Just be like, this is something I really want to do. Or like, I really want to take a trip. So I'm going to put that on 5 years. And I know that on that fifth, like, that's one of the things I'm working towards. And obviously, yeah, 5 years is a lot of time. I mean, stuff could change where it's like, no, I have a different priority now. I want to spend this money here or there. But it's the amount of time it takes to plan out a little bit is minuscule in the amount in the dividend experience you'll miss out on if you don't plan.
Fair. That's fair.
Yeah. All right. Next point. This is one I heard recently. Maturity is defined by how much responsibility you have, not by how old you are.
That's a pretty fire quote. you know what I immediately thought of? I thought of a couple people I know of that don't have a lot of responsibility. Obviously not going to call anybody. I'm not going to call anybody out.
I'm trying to think of like who you're thinking of.
All right. Who do you think I'm thinking of? Oh, don't say it out loud.
Well, how the fuck am I supposed to?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fair. Don't.
This is like, I don't know.
It's not a close friend of ours. I mean, a couple people come to mind, honestly. All right, well, let's dive into this. So your maturity. Yeah,
go ahead. Let's do the overarching theme instead of calling people out. Oh my god.
I don't think it's anyone that would be listening to this, but I know for a fact if like a name was said, someone would let that person know. You know, it would get around.
Wait, you drop it in the chat. Actually, no, I don't want to do that. Never mind. No, you'll tell me.
Okay, so let's break this down. So what you're saying is that someone who doesn't have a lot of responsibility might not have a lot of maturity, mm-hmm. regardless of how old they are or how far along down they are in their age in this life.
Yes.
And in contrast, if I'm hearing you correctly, people who have a lot of responsibility may possess more maturity, regardless of where their age lies.
I don't know why you're saying it like that, but yeah.
Cool. All right. So, yeah. So, like, so, for example, like someone who like had to pay for everything in their life and never had any financial support from their family and from when they were 14 and had to start, you know, lifeguarding at 14 and a half and then was working every day after school instead of being able to do extracurriculars and had to cover for that, figure out how they were going to pay for college. We do community college at first, even though their grades are stellar because they want to be able to afford it financially and eventually apply for a loan or be able to pay it in cash. And yeah, that person has already lived has taken on a lot more responsibility than I had to do at that age and probably possesses a lot more maturity than I did at that age and maybe even now.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah. Do you think people disagree with this? That there's the older people get, the more mature they are? I'll say this. Well, I've definitely experienced like kind of a superiority just because of people's age. 100%. Like, you know, like if someone goes into somewhere and it's just a firecracker, like a disruptor, but in a good way, like is bringing their A game, but they're kind of a younger person in the field and the older people are maybe threatened by this person's how put together they are, mature they are. They're kind of like, hey, how about you get in your place? Like,
yeah, you have to live
through, young. Yeah. You young through idiot.
5 more years of life in order to get to the same level I'm at. And that is the most common argument I hear from older people is you just haven't lived that much life. But I don't think life comes from your age. I think life comes from your experiences. So you're not going to tell the young boy who didn't have parents but had to raise his two younger siblings that he doesn't know what it's like to take care of two kids just because a 30-year-old mom is saying that. He's like, listen, lady, like I had to raise my two siblings for the last however many years. So, and I don't know if people older than you know how to process that. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think it's necessarily fathomable is where like they just can't relate to that being that experience being compressed into a shorter amount of time.
Yeah. That's I've had that said to me, but kind of in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, you're right. Because for me, for me personally, especially a year ago, like, no doubt, like, I have not lived, and I still haven't lived that much life. I've lived a lot more in the last year, but no, yeah, it would be fair for an older person to say that to me. It would even still be a little fair for someone to say that to me now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've been walking on a tightrope for the last year, and I am determined to not fall, and I do not want to fall, and I do fear falling. But if I'm being fully honest with myself, there is a safety net below me if I were to fall.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that just don't have one.
Yeah, it's situational, obviously. Like, I'm not going to go in to your field and be like, hey, I have way more experience than a 16-year-old kid who's been acting for 4 years. Like, obviously, I'm not going to do that, but I might be able to talk to a 30-year-old person in business and be like, yeah, look, I've had that experience. So,
yeah.
I don't know what you want me to tell you about it. Like, so yeah, I think it's interesting when I come across people that's their argument. Like, oh, you're so young. You have so much left to live. And it's like, yes, I do have a lot less to live, but it does not mean I have not lived similar experiences to what you have.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. It's a weird thing to like relate to people who are in different stages of life, but you can have some shared experiences. Cause I've had that too with people both older and younger than me, you know,
I think it's going to become more common. And I'm kind of looking at this from the younger perspective, talking to older people, mm-hmm. but now that we're having this conversation is I think it's going to happen more rapidly in the coming few years or decades, because the rate at which people can learn and the technological differences, I think it's going to, I mean, I know that I'm not going to know some stuff about AI that some, I'm sure 15-year-old is just going to be able to
whiz by. That's true.
So it's like, all right, I need to recognize this now and be able to recognize that I don't know what I don't know. And maybe someone younger than me does.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like that for our generation is that I bet our generation, for those who went into the corporate field, came in entry level way more tech savvy than a lot of their superiors when they came in at an entry level. Because our generation got to grow up learning about Microsoft Word and Excel and PowerPoint. We were introduced to those programs before we were 10 years old. Like that was a crazy, that's honestly looking back, like that's a crazy luxury that we got to have. And like you're saying now, there's kids who are less than 10 years old who are understanding ChatGPT and maybe understand not only like how useful it is or how useful it can be, but what goes into that interface and to that technology. And there's a bunch of little, I bet there's a bunch of little kids obsessing over it, probably wondering what OpenAI, like they love OpenAI and wondering what it's going to do next. Cause we were the same way with the tech that was hot when we were younger. So they're going to come in and know so much more at an entry level than when we came in.
Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting to think about.
Yeah. And I guess we can kind of split this into two buckets. Like I'm going to approach it from the business sense and be like, okay, I recognize I have a deficiency here. So like, let's leverage someone else's knowledge to compress that gap. But mm-hmm. I also want to look at it from like a mentor/parent bucket too, mm-hmm. because my mom, I love you, mom, but you were a helicopter parent and you did not let me have any Instagram or whatever. I was sneaking around or Snapchat for forever. And mm-hmm. what is that thing going to be for our children's generation?
which
I think
that's like a ooh, I don't know, because I know exactly where my parents were coming from, because it's new, it's scary, and it changes fast.
Yeah.
And I know something's going to change a lot faster. So who knows if your kid's going to be walking around with some Apple glasses and be like, look, Timmy, you can't wear those out in public, otherwise you're going to get run over by a car.
God, that's crazy to think about. I think, you know what, I wonder if parents right now who have like kids who are in their tween years, I wonder if OnlyFans is a huge discussion right now.
Oh, God.
I'm so sorry that it's not one of your controversial quotes that aren't really that controversial, Patrick.
No. I'm just like, oh God, here comes the OnlyFans conversation. Because I definitely have controversial. I probably wouldn't say they're controversial beliefs, but like, my beliefs are stark on them. But yeah, I'm sure, especially. Oh God, here we go.
Let's get into it. Let's get into it.
Thought daughter, gay son.
Here's what I will preface. I think we really lucked out that OnlyFans was not around when we were in middle school and our early high school.
Oh God, yeah.
Because by the time OnlyFans dropped on the internet, it was like a couple, I don't know the actual time. It got big a couple years ago. Like it got in the conversation 2 to 3 years ago. And we were already in college and it was already very clear. I was like, oh yeah, that's no, I don't care. And it wasn't ever in my vicinity. But if I was young, naive, like, you know, just got my cell phone and it's one of your first freedoms without true adult supervision. I mean, I feel like me and my friends could have like gotten into it and it could have become a normal thing.
Right.
If I were exposed to it at more naive age.
Yeah. This is interesting. So it was OnlyFans was started in 2016. Didn't become popular till May of 2023 because of the pandemic and everyone was online.
Wait, May 2023
is where it really grew popularity, is what they're saying.
Wow, that's less than a year ago. I definitely heard about it longer before that.
Yeah, or
maybe it hit a peak around there.
Yeah, I mean these are just quick articles that I'm looking at, but yeah. So I mean, I can definitely see it being propagated by the pandemic. Everyone's at home and online, so it's okay, what do I look to find interaction? And okay, this is really interesting. I heard the other day, I was listening to a podcast with Chris Williamson and Sadia Khan, the Modern Wisdom one I've sent you before, and it's kind of a epidemic because obviously porn is not good for long-term societal health. Same thing with OnlyFans. And now they're starting to have AI, essentially porn girls, that you can curate and create their personality. So like you can tell them if they're a little more meek and if they always say yes to you she's a kind of like an evolutionary psychologist or some type of psychologist. And she was talking about the adverse effects of this long term. And I was like, yeah, it's essentially going to create a scenario where guys are going to turn to the quick fix to talk to AI, their AI girlfriend. The girls are going to perceive that from guys as, oh, that's weird and that's creepy, or another point she brought up, or is how can I compete with that? Because they're biological beings. They're not perfect and they can't be curated to be perfect to that guy. So it's going to create this, there's kind of been this divide between men and women in this, the feminism and masculinity movements. And her argument is it's just going to get bigger and bigger because it's going to be more difficult for women to compete with women online, and guys aren't going to know what the heck to do when they see a woman in person.
Like a real one.
Yeah. What do we do?
I mean,
oh God.
I mean, that is actually insane. And I mean, there's still the lack of the actual human connection that, I mean, maybe years down the line, AI can get close to replicating, but at least I don't think in the next 10 years, they're going to be able to really get advanced enough to really replicate that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And if it does,
it's getting,
and you can just pick not even pick qualities. I bet it's like you design the AI girlfriend, I guess. And maybe you decide one day, like, I actually don't like this quality about you. You can just type in like, she's not like that anymore. she's into other things now.
Yeah.
Or just create a whole new one. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. Also think about this though, Patrick. I mean, what if girls want AI boyfriends? I agree that it's going to be more common for guys to get AI girlfriends, but there might be a market for that too.
So what was brought up in this podcast is psychologically men and women are different. Mm-hmm. Women need, men and women both need each other. Women need men for a different reason and men need women for a different reason. And they look for different attributes when they're pursuing a partner. Mm-hmm. Women need the connection and the sense of security. A AI boyfriend cannot provide that security like a real man could. Like, can't provide physical protection, monetary protection, or give them a kid. Guys, they look at women more immediately sexually at first. They're still looking for connection, which hypothetically they can get from the AI girlfriend, and then obviously to reproduce.
Yeah.
The issue is obviously you can't reproduce the AI girlfriend, but the whole porn and porn addiction epidemic that has been occurring over the past, call it a decade, whatever it is, guys can jack off and it gives them the sensation of, hey, I just mated, so I don't need to go out and try and pursue a girl. So it continues to push this divide between what we really need biologically and then tricking our psyche into like, oh, you're good, man. Like keep doing what you're doing. And then you get to 40 and you're like, well, shit, I can't have a kid anymore. Something like that. So yeah, it's a scary thought.
It is. It's a very scary thought. And my one argument to that is counter argument is kind of exactly what you said. I would like to believe that there's always still going to be people out there that do want to have children and that would hopefully push people enough to actually meet real people and do that. You know?
Yeah, 100%. And they actually brought this up during this podcast, and it goes back to people's fear. Like, guys would rather live with the fear of without being rejected from a woman in life, in real life, and just curate what they want online. Because so many people are so afraid nowadays to get rejected. I think the stat was that 76% of women want a guy to approach, or no, it was 82% of women want a guy to approach them first, and 76% of men are too afraid to approach a girl. So like, that's a big issue. That's a really big issue women need this. And then 3/4 of the male population is too afraid. And I don't know what the data is based off of, but it's still pretty telling. Like, I believe it.
Well, you know, the odds are stacked in our favor.
Yeah, rejection's maybe badass.
Yeah, maybe this is a good thing, Patrick. Maybe maybe like, because more and more guys are like getting AI girlfriends and obsessed with people, like, we have a better chance Because the competition is lower, right? So this is, if anything, this is our opportunity as guys to really like get out there. You know, the bar is low. You just said it. If you're, even if you're going up to women, you're in the 24% of men. You're better than, if you actually go up to women and talk to the real ones, the not AI girlfriend ones, the ones that are human beings, Patrick, you are better than, you have a better chance than 76%.
Yeah, which is crazy to think. I mean,
you're in the 77th percentile, at least.
I passed that test. I mean, yeah.
So maybe we should prey on society's downfall. So we can.
What's that movie? 100 Kids or something like that? Jack's just going to be.
100 Kids?
It's a Vince Vaughn. Hold on.
Oh, the Vince Vaughn movie. I know what you're talking about. I know it. I forget the name, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're just going to Andrew Tate it and have a plethora of children. I'm sorry for any women listening to this.
Dude, do you want to hear one of the craziest things I've ever heard in my life?
Yeah.
Cool. So one time, it was when I was living in Los Angeles for a few months. I got an Uber driver and he was talking to me and like asked me some questions and I told him like my situation. Like I'm just here for about 4 months, doing some classes and an internship. And he literally goes, "Oh dude," he looks at me and he goes, "If I was in your situation, I would have impregnated so many women."
Off the cuff.
Off. Dude, like, he had said maybe 3 sentences to me before he said that, before he dropped that if only he was in my shoes, and he could, and I was, and I literally laughed just like you did. And I went, "What do you mean?" you know how like when I'm uncomfortable and I'm like, "Whoa, what is that? What do you mean by that?" And he's like, he meant exactly that. 'Cause he elaborated and he was like, "Oh my God, yeah, like that'd be so awesome. Like you have no repercussions. They get pregnant, they want your help, you're back in North Carolina." And I was like, "Dude," what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And I remember I responded, I was like, I don't know if I would want that, to just like have a bunch of children that I don't know about. And he goes, he answered this, he goes, "Oh dude, I think it'd be so awesome. Like, just imagine like, I've done doing it so many times. Like, you could just be in a public place, and for all you know, one of your kids is there across the table."
Give me like fucking Quagmire.
my jaw was dropped, and I was like, "All right, this guy, we are not on the same wavelength at all."
Dude, there are some people out there that just, they say and do the craziest things.
It was one of the craziest things I've ever heard in my life.
I typically don't believe those people are real. And then I hear or encounter them, I'm like, "Yeah, well, shit, that just happened." Like,
yeah.
I can't believe that. Like, my mouth is like, wow. So, I mean, and that goes to tell you how lucky we are growing up. Like, where you grow up is probably, I would say, 95% of of luck in life.
It's
wild.
But you know what blew my mind the most? Before that guy said that, he seemed so normal. And I usually have a quick radar for not normal people, or just like different wavelength. Like he was, could not have looked like more average looking guy. He picked me up in a Tesla. Like he does. And like he had like, I forget what his job was. I think he was in law or something, or he could have been lying. I don't know. But for then that came out of his mouth and I was like, "What is happening?" I couldn't explain it. I can't explain that interaction. I thought I did my best. I kind of just laughed along and I got out of the Uber and I was like, "What just happened?"
Yeah. Well, maybe he'll represent you when all your your childcare checks come in. I can't pay that.
Oh yeah, good Lord.
be like Nick Cannon. What does he have, 16 kids or something like that?
It's up there. Yeah, with like, it's like 8 different women, I think.
Oh my god. See, like, I mean, obviously you do you, but that used to be normal back in the day. Or like more normal, I should say.
Not as much the different women.
Yeah. No.
I mean, in certain cultures.
However far you go back. But it makes me interested to like look at the data, because obviously there has been more positive data, I think, having a father, like a single father figure in the household. So I wonder like when they started tracking that versus how it was back then. I don't know. My curiosity.
I think the amount of children people are having is also decreased just because it's too expensive nowadays. That's a big reason. Yeah. I know my parents would have definitely had more if it weren't, you know, so expensive.
Yeah. That I definitely can see. I think it's ignorant to say it's not also because of what we just discussed.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Cause you don't see it. Well, one, you don't see it because I think societally it's changed. Like people don't normally have kids now until they're mid upper 20s. I mean, like my grandparents, they had their first kid at 20.
That's crazy. That's crazy because I'm 23.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can't imagine. I'm not ready to raise a kid.
Yeah. It's very different back then just based on societal shifts. But I do think there definitely is a... I'll be curious to see how much it impacts everything in the next decade or two. Because statistically, it's going to look like, okay, GDP is going to decrease because less babies, there's less people in the workforce. I think that you'll just see a bunch of adverse effects on it. But I don't know.
Maybe I'm clouded by my own social circles, you know, but I think our generation is a bit of a sleeper for that. I think a lot of people our age do want to have kids and have that kind of life. That could, like I said, though, that could be just purely anecdotal. I don't know how our generation is looking as a whole.
Do you want to have kids? Or how many kids do you want to have? I know you want to have kids.
I don't know. I don't really have more than one. I would like to have more than one. I don't want an only child just because I wasn't one. And like I've met some only childs who are like the dopest people ever, but I have met some only childs who like it's kind of like, oh, you're an only child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not to say that like if you have an only child, they're gonna suck. I've met some awesome only childs before, and have been friends with awesome people who don't have any siblings. It's like I just would like my kid to at least grow up with another kid, you know. Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, my answer is more than one, but I don't know how many. I feel like that's just kind of like an in the where we are in life kind of thing. I don't have a number I want to hit. Well, I guess more than one. But yeah, that's one of those answers where I think it's just we get there when we get there.
See what life brings you.
Yeah. What about you?
I either want to have, I don't know yet for sure, but I think I could. If I have kids, I want to have like 4 or 5. I think kids are awesome.
Yeah.
So I have like
kids are dope.
Bunch of little guys running around. I don't know. It's also been like you look at more successful people and you ask them like, what's the coolest thing in life that they've had? It's like, oh, bringing a kid into the world. I'm like, oh, that must mean something because it's been anywhere from like Elon Musk to Ronaldo who scored a goal in the World Cup kind of thing. And
yeah,
that's their answer. So I'm like, all right, that must be one of life's.
It's got to be pretty damn special.
Yeah. So
it'd be so cool. You know, yeah, just like without the introspective, even without the introspective aspect, I've always thought it would be so cool to have a kid. Like, and amazing. So just kind of like, yeah, just kind of like, you know, be their guide in a way. You know what I mean? It's like, you're kind of like their guide. Like, you kind of just show them, like, you know, here's how I've learned to navigate the world, and I want to pass on some ways to you on how to navigate the world and prepare you for what's out there. And also just spend time together and have an awesome, amazing time as a family.
Yeah.
And yeah. And look at that. And then maybe you'll have a kid and pass that down to that person.
Yeah.
And then the things that you've learned from me, that I learned from my dad, that he learned from, you know, the whole lineage thing has always been really cool to me.
I agree. Okay. I want to wrap it up. Going back to the OnlyFans stuff.
Patrick, you can't get enough of it, can you?
I enjoy debating, so.
Okay.
I almost wish we were on one of those, like, Fresh and Fit podcasts, and there's, like, the OnlyFans. I'd be like, ooh, this is going to be so fun.
Oh, yeah, when they bring the models on and just basically roast the shit out of them. Yeah. they bring them on to just destroy them.
Yeah, because there's no winning. I mean, like, we all know that. All right, anyway. Here's what I'm going to ask, and then we can say we all know what the result is. Would you ever date an OnlyFans model or a former OnlyFans model?
I don't think so.
How did you come to that?
I guess it's just, for me, it's one of those perspective things that the perspective thing is, this person that I would be getting into a relationship with has been living a life where the relationships that she is developing are very transactional, extremely transactional entirely. And she is giving emotional connection in exchange for something, for money. Specifically money in this situation. So I feel like that would be a very hard kind of bridge to cross, or something for us to meet at, where it's, no, I want to do this because I want to share a part of myself with you. And what I want in return is just the same thing. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there will always be a disconnect there.
Yeah. I think the money is why they get started, and then the attention. The constant attention is why they keep going.
I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah. There's also that, like, it's, you know, a former model, it kind of depends on the situation. And I would say most of the time would be no, but maybe there's a chance that it'd be something I'd be down to pursue on what the person's journey has been. I fully know to a current model, fully know.
Yeah.
Because exactly what you said, it's basically, it's one thing to have other options. It's another to have the whole pond in the palm of your hands whenever you want to access it.
Yeah.
It's just the case.
Yep. Yeah. I kind of feel bad. I mean, because I think it's a blend of what you just said, but it's also this story that over the past 5 years that women have been telling other women, it's like, hey, you can be your own boss, like boss bitch kind of culture. But that's, and obviously, like, boss bitch is, I don't know what I'm saying like that, but anyway, boss woman is like, she can provide for herself, which go provide for yourself, but don't do it in the way.
I could say something controversial as hell.
I mean, in my opinion,
is she providing for herself, or are a bunch of men providing for her?
I did not think that's where you're going with that one. I mean, Well, you should listen to this podcast because
that's just my question. That's just a question. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she is providing for herself. I guess she's earning the money, but instead of one man giving it to the woman, the boss bitch is getting it from a ton.
Yeah. I think this is the funniest quote was, or the funniest point is, like, guys have, if this was the intent behind it, whoever started this kind of trend of, oh yeah, a woman can earn her own money and take care of the guy, guys have played the ultimate like checkmate card, because now they've convinced girls that they can cook, they can clean and take care of the guy and provide the money for the guy, so the guy just doesn't have to do anything.
Oh my God.
It's like, all right, boys, we're all just going to be trophy husbands.
Oh my God. I guess someone's not going to like that one.
We're not saying we agree.
We're kidding. We're kidding. We're joking around. We're joking around. Oh.
All right.
We're kidding. We are kidding. We are kidding. The point I made, I don't know if I was fully kidding about.
I mean, it's true.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if I went on OnlyFans and, like, it was just a bunch of girls, I would say a bunch of girls are providing for me, you know?
Yeah.
But, the counter argument be like, okay, yeah, they're giving me the money, but I'm doing the work. I'm producing the product. I'm releasing the content.
Yeah, but what is the product? The product's just your body. Like, I mean, yes, you can be physically fit. You can work at that. But, I mean, to a certain extent, like...
You know what would be interesting to me? Finding OnlyFans models who are selling something other than their body. Like, maybe they're selling, like, I don't know, like, their work, like, maybe like pictures or like, you know what I mean? Or like
pictures,
like, I like, look what I drew today. Subscribe to see my artwork.
Oh, you're looking it up. Fanny. Yep. Nope. 10 best. Nope. Ah, here we go. 17 accounts that have nothing to do with nudity. Oh, Cardi B. Yeah. Okay. Sure. there's a fitness one.
That's, yeah, I bet there's a lot of, like, maybe, like, music. I could see, like, music being on there. But that'd be kind of dumb, just because you'd want to put it on Spotify and have as many people hear it as you can.
Yeah, PR strategists, videos about career advice, artist. I still think, artist, though, like, that's a tough debate because, I mean, you're still showing your body. Like, that's part of being a performer. DJ, performer, fashion, travel,
performer. Dude, what if someone famous went on only, like, but not, like, specifically to, like, add a paywall to, like, exclusive music? Someone who's already, like, super famous. Like, imagine if, like, a Post Malone or a Taylor Swift, like, who already have this huge following, were like, here's an exclusive single, but, like, it's only on OnlyFans. And if you want to listen to the song, you have to pay X amount of money to access it.
Actually, here you go. Perfect example. Montreal-based musician and actor Steven Voice uses OnlyFans to share exclusive music and beats and release new music videos.
Yeah.
Something like that. Oh, here we go. A chef aims to bring people together with food. Now, I'm obviously not looking at their content right now, but...
It seems like it's
I don't know.
It seems like it's just people doing stuff.
It could be a little bit more innocent than some of the other stuff that is out there.
But we know what's out there.
Yeah, these guys obviously aren't mainstream.
Yeah. Maybe we should add a paywall. Maybe we should put some stuff on OnlyFans, Patrick.
Yeah, guys, speaking of, subscribe to
big
our
announcement
OnlyFans.
For well-rounded wealth. see our exclusive content for only $9.99 a month.
Yeah, please, if no one's commented before or left us a recommendation, let us know if you want to see an OnlyFans.
Dude, I gotta tell you this, and I'll share it on the podcast. One of the most recent reels that was posted on TikTok.
one of our
normal reels. Okay. It was last episode, like the Passions one, and it was something about like talking about how like the podcasting, like the learning, the passion, which came first. Yeah. the only comment I saw, it was just someone that said, "Not everyone should follow their passions." Oh, it was about like us.
Wait, what?
He basically said, like, he's like, you should like, don't follow your passions for a podcast. Your podcast sucks. Dude, oh, it just cracked me up.
I just looked at, we got 1.5, 1,500 views. So,
really? Honestly, I was low key thrilled to see that comment. I was like, holy shit, someone random commented. It said we sucked, but. It said we sucked and we should quit. But
just
I was
wait till you see our OnlyFans. Like, you won't be disappointed.
But I was pretty thrilled that like someone that we didn't know at all commented. And I think it might have helped with the views.
The algorithm. Yeah.
Comment more hate. Comment more hate. We'll take it. Oh, that's so funny.
All right. This was funny. I'm glad we went on a I guess controversial OnlyFans rant. And
the little to no controversy for 40 minutes and OnlyFans. That was the episode. But I loved it. I'm interested to see how some people respond.
Agreed. All right. Well, we will wrap it there. Thank you guys for listening. As always, please comment, like, and subscribe on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok, and we'll keep you updated on the OnlyFans if this episode gets a lot
it's,
of likes.
It's not happening.
One day, Jack. Never say never.
Maybe. We'll do Patreon before OnlyFans.
We'll have OnlyFans content on our Patreon.
That's how we corner the market.
that's our niche.
There it is. All right. Well, thank you for those who made it to the end. Thank you so much for listening. I really enjoyed this. I hope this was entertaining. I hope y'all enjoyed it. If you guys have any thoughts on this, please reach out to us. If you disagree with anything that we said, maybe you support OnlyFans models. Maybe if you're an OnlyFans model who just happened to listen to this and you have words to say, let us know. And we'd love to open it up for more conversation. Thank you guys so much. Enjoy your week. Live it up. Hell yeah. Goodbye.
Peace.